Good afternoon. We are here. It is 10/12/2011. And there is some activity that is still seems to be percolating among the populace that is being called the Occupy Movement. And it is being watched by those in power because they are not really sure what to do. Unlike the Tea Partiers, who they were able to coerce or co-opt. They were able to co-opt them into their, we are speaking of those who are in power, they were able to co-opt that grouping into their agenda and use it as a wedge to pry open the way back into the political mainstream, where they had been somewhat banished after the 2010 election. Then they were able to get this grouping and use it as a wedge, pry their way in. And now they are looking at this Occupy movement, and they are wondering, is there any way to utilize this grouping? And what they are discovering is that this particular grouping is not as coherent or cohesive as the Tea Party movement was, because there are so many groupings that are now finding their way into the Occupy movement, even the grassroots Tea Party groups. They are resonating with the Occupy crowd, because they are realizing that there are people who have been making lots of money on the economy being bad. There was a march on the homes of rich people in the New York area, and there are many that you would know their names if you were to hear them, who have big homes in the New York area. And these people were able to be found, their homes were able to be targeted, and these groupings were able to come and have a presence. Now, when you are a rich person and you have your home and you think this home is somehow a citadel of your existence, and you look out the window and all of a sudden hundreds if not thousands of people begin to show up. Again, we have used the image of the French Revolution and many on the right Fox News crowd say that as if it is a bad thing. Oh, this is, what is this? That was a movement that brought about great change in a, at the time, rather developed country. France was not the backwater country at the time. It was quite developed and had a high level of culture and capability. And yet, here it ignored the idea that the people have a right to their share of what is being ripped from the planet or being created. And so, as this movement begins to grow, and we see it growing quite organically, quite naturally, over the next few moons, those who struggle to understand it would do better to struggle and figure out what it is it wants. Because it wants something. And maybe it might not be able to be articulated in a manifesto or something. But its wants are pretty basic. And it goes down the idea of roof over people's heads, significant existence, where the future is something to look forward to, not to something to be avoided. And as long as cultures can deliver significant living to its populace, you will not have these kinds of problems. When it begins to look like they don't care, when it begins to look like, well, go ahead and die, then you will begin to see the cracks in the facade. And that is what is occurring here. So you think you can pepper spray a couple of youngsters, make them go home, and instead you pepper spray them and it's on television and you get a movement. You think you can corral a few hundred people on a bridge and that will be the end of it? Not true. Not true. Now, of course, if you have ultimate control, like the Chinese did with Tiananmen Square, you can put a blackout on it and create false histories about it, and over time your country will begin to believe its false histories. But when you are in a country like America or the West, where you cannot have that kind of control, or you do not have that kind of control, then these kinds of things become the rally cry. Many in the West wondered how come Tiananmen Square was not a rally cry for an end of communist China. And it was because of communist China's ability to really bring the hammer down on the entire country. But even that's beginning to have its cracks. Those who are becoming more and more affluent in China are beginning to really resent the level of crackdown. Now, what can they do about it? At this time, maybe not much, but that it will change over time as their ranks grow. And that will be true of the Occupy movement. As their ranks grow, with the disenchanted, the disenfranchised, the newly poor. You've heard the word nouveau riche. Well, you are moving into a group of nouveau poor. Time when that group is growing. And let us tell you, that's a group you really don't want to have growing. You don't want people seeing being poor as the new norm, the new rich, the new middle class, because they won't like it. Particularly since you showed them a future where their ranks and the middle class became quite comfortable. Think about the 70s and the 80s. There was really a belief that being in the middle class gave you status, gave you a feeling of comfort and progress. And that was really what was occurring until it was decided that there wasn't that much room at the top, that they couldn't have that level of living quality among the populace that gave them too much power. And so it was decided by very few people at the top to begin a process that would begin to chip away at that power, at that progress. It's interesting that you have Democrats, but then you have what they call progressive Democrats. What does that mean to be progressive? What does it mean to enlarge the tax base, to have a wider base? What does that mean? Many people hear that and they think, oh, that sounds good. Does it really? Does it really make sense to tax people who have nothing? Is that really what's necessary? Every dime you take from someone who is poor that you give back to someone who is rich, you are doing more harm to that poor crowd than you are doing benefit to that rich crowd. And it's interesting because there are many on the high end of the financial spectrum who recognize that. Who recognize that they have been gifted and that it is important that they give. There's this belief that everything you give, you have to have some way of knowing what it's being spent on. Yes, I'll give as long as I know it's not going to those freeloaders or it's not going to that welfare mom or something. There's a saying about a gift. It's a gift if you don't put conditions on it. Telling someone you're going to give them a car as long as they don't ever dent it or drive it too far or drive it at night, you are minimizing the gift to the point where it's no longer a gift, it's a burden. It's like telling someone a secret. And then telling them they can tell no one. You have not given them something of value, you have given them a burden. And so to the extent that you begin to burden those who are already burdened by just living in a culture on the far, far poor end, isn't giving them anything. You know, you have this front-runner person right now on the right, Mr. Kane. And Mr. Kane is one of the most clueless people probably on your political spectrum right now. Totally, totally without any idea of what he is doing and where he is going. He thinks he's going to be president. He's going to be a footnote in this election. But he is doing a lot of damage pushing his ideas. Because those ideas are very polarizing, very polarizing. And so those who would be seen as McCain supporters will be also seen as targets of the Occupy grouping. It's interesting to us. You are seeing this picture getting more and more clearer of where you are and what you're doing. It's like a bunch of people waking up from a drunken stupor. And they're beginning to look around the room and see what's really going on. Oh boy, someone threw a rock through the window. Someone burned a couch. Someone, whatever. And so as you begin to wake up from that binge, there might even be some repercussions that would be legal that would come out of it. Who did this thing? This is illegal. You can't do this. This is going to get you in trouble. And that is what is going to start occurring. People who think they have gotten away with things, whether it is stealing money during the economic downturn or whether it is stealing land and minimal rights and things like this from people. Many of those who think they have gotten away with it will begin to discover, just like DNA can find you many years later, DNA testing can prove you are a guilty person, they're going to find that they're not going to be able to run from what they have done. They think they can. They think they have gotten away with it. And those of you who might listen you will know who these people are. Maybe even you are part of them. You're part of it. We are not sure. But you will know. You think you've gotten. You're like a canary, a cat that's got the canary in his mouth thinking, oh, this is wonderful. And then what do you see? You see that rolled up newspaper coming at you from the person who saw you eat the canary. And you're going to get whacked in the head by that rolled up newspaper. Understand? So, what can you do? Begin to really wonder or intend or bring into your focus the kind of place that you want to inhabit. Do you want free energy? Do you want energies that don't burn fossil fuels? Intend it. Ask for it. Be excited about it. Get giddy about the prospect. Our vehicle wants a electric car. Why? One of the reasons is he wants to stop going to gas stations. He wants to pass them up. He wants the only reason to stop at a gas station to buy a soda pop. Maybe a candy bar. That's it. And then keep going. No, I'm not going to stop and fuel up with your toxic sludge. See that as a possibility. See your home being heated and air conditioned and your refrigeration systems working and all other things, your lighting and your whatever. See all those things being done without the footprint, they call it the carbon footprint, see without the big carbon footprint that it has. It can happen because enough of you want it, then it begins to become the consensus reality. There's a strong consensus reality out there beginning to grow for the electric car. There is. And many who have given it some thought think, you know, a car that could get 50, 100 miles to a charge, that's enough. That's enough to get me to the school to drop the kids off, or the office, or the store. And maybe I might have to rig 2 trips instead of one. Maybe I might have to go do that one thing one day and that other thing another day, because that's what the car can do. But is that so terrible? Now, of course, there will be those that have to travel further, but there will be technologies that even they can start to use. Whether it is ships that will run on solar power, or trains that will run on solar power, or farms that will run on wind power, or whatever. And these are technologies that you currently know about. There are some technologies that are on the cusp of being let loose. It was very interesting to find that someone has finally allowed information about faster than light travel to come out. Your CERN people and these, your physicists are baffled by the idea that the neutrino can travel faster than the speed of light. Einstein would roll over in his grave. Not really. He knew. He knew that it was a limiting factor on your technology that would be broken, like any other barrier that you have had in the past, your speed of sound barrier. No one can travel faster than 60 miles an hour. There was a time when that was believed. The people's brains and hearts would stop working at 60 miles an hour. You all travel at that speed routinely today. Well, the same will be true of faster than light travel. There will be a day when it is routine. When time travel will be routine. When you will be able to manipulate through the dimensions routinely. And you will then find yourself moving further and further into that idea of significant living, of living with purpose and living in a level of safety and abundance that you deserve as creatures of the great spark that you are. So let us conclude with that. Keep your wits about you. Keep your intentions on the highest level. Be careful of what you are watching. Be careful of the information that you allow into your sphere of your own sphere of information. Be careful of it. You must think of yourself like a cell in the body. There's this idea of the pH level and whether or not you are acidic or alkaline, and how that affects your cell's ability to keep toxins out and only allow in the purest of ingredients. See yourself like that when it comes to information. Build a stronger cell membrane to keep out information, false information, but information nonetheless, that is meant to limit your idea of who you are and what you are capable of. Very good. It's been our pleasure. Good day to all of you.